help me, excuse me, to welcome Angela.
Hi, my name is Angela, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Angela. Hey, Angela.
I was kind of looking forward to the "We love you lots," but that's all right. I'll live. So, Grapevine. I remember in early sobriety, my home groups would have it, and they would give it out, or it would be available, and one day it wasn't there, and I wanted it, so I got a subscription. And it's kind of, the Grapevine magazine has been a really useful tool in my sobriety, just, you know, stopping my brain for a minute and reading a story and identifying myself as an alcoholic and identifying with the people that write stories and whatever struggle they're going through. Like, there's a book called Emotional Sobriety that there's an article in there about a home group and participating in a home group and being a part of, and I just read that. It was written in 1970-something, but I just read it recently, and I was like, that's how I feel. Sometimes I don't feel a part of, and I know it's my fault because I'm not participating. And thank God I know that. You know, it's not anybody else's. I can't blame anybody. Now that I'm sober, I know everything. If I'm disturbed, my problem is me. I've always noticed that there's been a... I'm supposed to talk slower, right? I've always noticed a call for articles and illustrations and jokes, and I have a creative background, so I've always kind of fantasized about having a cartoon published in the Grapevine, and I haven't done that yet, but I did go to a meeting and I heard a good joke, and so I sent it to the Grapevine. They totally rearranged the wording and everything, but this idea is the same. And they ended up publishing it. It was published in April of 2009. And it says, heard at meetings. Topic, would you still go to AA if a pill was created that cured alcoholism? Speaker, yes, I would. I have a feeling I want more of them. Which I identify with. I want more. Yes, now. And it was really interesting that... how exciting it was to like have my little joke and my little initials with my, you know, where I'm from, and that gave me enough courage to go further. So I don't know which came first. I sent in my story, I emailed it to the editor, and it was a call for articles for treatment facilities, because I went to rehab when I got sober for 3 weeks, and I got a letter in the mail, and it said, thank you for your submission, but we're not going to publish this right now. And I thought that was no. You know, I took that as a no. But it turns out a year later that they used it in an article about beginners. And that's, it was a total shock. You know, I got a free magazine, you know, extra one besides my subscription in the mail. And I was like, what is this? And I had a note, thank you for your submission, and here's your story. And I was screaming and jumping up and down. And and that was like, my mom was there at the time when I was reading this and excited. And she's like, can I read it? And I'm like, no. Maybe one day I will let her read it. But it's not a fun story. It's not a good story. She's not going to like it. I mean, it's got a good ending because I'm sober and, you know. But we're all happy about that. And then also they have a creative call for photographers and professional illustrators. And I actually studied illustration in college, and I didn't end up doing that for a living, but it's something that I like to do, and not enough. I don't do it enough. So it was kind of like, okay, let me send some samples to the art director, and she said, we'd like to use your style for a story. So she sent me a copy of the story and told me what they were looking for. And I sent some sketches. Like, it was like a real magazine. communicating with the art director. This is kind of, I have to tell you, this is like a real dream that I've had. Like, I've always been creative, and so, like, I've kind of had this fantasy about being published as an illustrator in a magazine. And I didn't specify in the dream that I would be paid for the illustration, unfortunately. But it's still pretty awesome that I, you know, got the opportunity to have my own little drawings in a magazine. And not only just a magazine, it's just a magazine that I subscribe to and that I love passionately. So it's kind of a really sad story about a woman whose little girl wanders out into the street, but it was pretty challenging and fun and scary. And I'm so glad that I did it. You know, it's one of the amazing things about my sobriety is learning to, like, take action and get results and taking leadership. And, like, I didn't do any of that when I was drinking. It was all very selfish and self-centered constantly. And you know, I get to practice, like, taking on challenges, you know, not being good at something and taking a risk and learning, you know, it's okay if I get rejected. I mean, I can't believe I've been published in the Grapevine 3 times. That's, like, mind-blowing to me. Like, how did that happen? All I did was submit, and I've heard that some people have not been, like, my sponsor is one. No, but she was published twice, once, and then she was rejected once, I think. She'll tell you. But I can't believe it, you know? It's like, if I can help somebody with my experience, it's just another way to, like, for me to carry the message. And I didn't really tell people at first when it came out because I was like, that's a little egotistical. But it's been like a year, so I can tell people now because you can't find it. And so, and I have my opinions about the redesign. Like, they did a little wacky period where you couldn't find the steps and in the Grapevine, and, you know, it didn't have things where they're supposed to be. Like, it's been a certain way for a while, and now I'm creative and I like to make things look good. So well, maybe one day I will end up working there and I can help them. But no, I think it's really awesome. Like, I think that other people had that feedback because I've noticed that the steps are in the back again, you know, on the shades. Like, for a few issues, it wasn't like that. And I really like that. I know where to go when I want to find the 12 steps and I want to find that responsibility pledge. And I love the fact that there's so much history from the Grapevine, like the steps and traditions. I'm sure somebody else will talk about that, but how everything, Bill was kind of, it was like Bill's sounding board for our reaction to his ideas and the responsibility pledge. Like, I am responsible. Like, that's pretty much my life right now. If I'm sober and if I do this stuff, if I stay sober and I, you know, do service, and everything else kind of falls into place. If it's just me and my head and my ideas, then it kind of gets a little scary. And I've been there and I've done that, and thank God I haven't had a drink. But the Grapevine is a tremendous opportunity to communicate with the world of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think it's really powerful. And there's Icky Pa was in New York, and I was there, and there was a little article about, you know, Icky Pa in New York, and it's exciting. You know, I'm participating in Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is like a current. When you read the big book, it's all like 1935 language, and it's a little hard to. Yeah, I needed a sponsor to show me how to interpret that, but this is like people today that are talking about living sober, and I get a lot of nourishment from that. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Angela. And our next speaker is from Costa Mesa, California. Please help me welcome Emmett.
Hi, I'm Emmett. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Emmett.
Yeah, So, I was about 6 months sober, and I was perusing the Grapevine website, because I'd heard about it and didn't really know what it was all about. I'd seen issues of it before. Actually, I think the first time I saw the Grapevine was when I was in the psych ward the second time. But obviously wasn't interested in it back then. I was on the website, and it said there's a call for young people in sobriety articles. So I was like, okay, I'm a young person. Maybe I can bring something to the table here. And I was actually, that particular night that I sat down and wrote my story, I was like really, really just in my head and kind of in a bad place at that point in my sobriety. I just, you know, I'd kind of fallen off that pink cloud, and I was kind of starting to realize that the pink cloud doesn't like last forever, you know what I mean? And kind of starting to face life on life's terms, and kind of all this kind of, I'm kind of realizing all this. But anyway, I wrote my story that night, and in a weird way, it helped me get through the night, you know, because they tell us that when we're in our head, we need to get out of our head. So I wrote about myself, and it got me out of my head, and I was just kind of like, I don't think I'm going to do that every time that I'm in my head. Right. But anyway, I'd sent in my article, didn't hear anything back for a while. And then a lot like Angela, I was like really excited when I got the little package and opened it up. I was like, oh yeah, all right. Didn't want to go telling everybody because I didn't want to feed my ego too much too. I know what you're talking about, but he said. It was huge for me in my sobriety because I didn't ever think that I guess my story could help anyone. And then when I saw that they had put it in the Grapevine, it kind of that 9-step promise came to me, you know. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we'll see our experience can benefit others. And for the first time, I kind of felt that, you know. In kind of a weird way, I guess. But it was huge for me. And around that time, I was like, you know, I had been borrowing issues from people and not giving them back. And I was like, maybe I should just get my own subscription. So I did. And the Grapevine is just really, it's been a tool for my sobriety, just another tool, you know, to enhance my sobriety and to, you know, like Angela was saying, that if I am in my head and rattling around, I can just open up an issue and read a story, you know. And I look forward each month now to receiving my copy in the mail. And it's just a really cool thing, you know, because you got the jokes in there, got the stories, and I have not read one story in the Grapevine that I couldn't relate to. So what does that tell me? That the Grapevine really, really helps me out a lot, you know? And that it's just kind of become a part of my sobriety now, you know? I get the issue every month, and I sit down, and I read it, and kind of go through it a little bit. There's some really cool stories in there. This past month, this year was really good. And when I was flying down here from California, I don't like flying on planes for a number of reasons. I guess I'm kind of afraid of flying is one, and two, I always get all freaked out when the person comes by and asks you if you want a drink. Like, I don't know. I just don't like that. And people kind of annoy me, so I don't like sitting next to someone. But, so I just cracked open the Grapevine and started reading it, and it was a good flight, you know? That's a recent experience I had. Another example of kind of how the grapevine has helped me in my sobriety is really early on I struggled with like drunk dreams, and I don't know if everybody experiences them, but from talking it seems like a lot of people do. So there was a thing in the grapevine that said, someone said that drunk dreams are like a kind of like a warning to keep vigilance against the first drink. And I was like, huh, I never really thought of it that way before. Like, and then they went on to say, and for that, I'm grateful for drunk dreams. I was like, what? But it makes sense, you know? It was just kind of something, a different way of looking at it that I never really thought of before. And I was like, all right, that makes sense. That's cool. I was talking to Leslie on the way down here, and I was saying, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot of people read The Grapevine. Why is that? And maybe it's just because people don't know it's out there. But it's been a really, really useful tool for me in my sobriety. And just, you know, if I can't get to a meeting, if I've been rattling around in my head like I've talked about, and just kind of for enjoyment, you know? Like, I enjoy reading. So I would encourage you guys, if you don't have it, to get it. It's cool. So, thanks.
Thank you, Emmett. And our next speaker is from Phoenix. Help me to welcome Leslie.
Good morning. My name is Leslie, and I am an alcoholic. And I truly have the blessing of being able to serve as your area Grapevine coordinator. Is anyone a Grapevine rep here? Okay. Sally, and I need your email address, because I have not been able to utilize the from New York. So thank you for coming to hear about the Grapevine, which, by the way, I'm passionate about. I've always loved the Grapevine. I'll tell you, when I first got sober, I had no idea what that first part of that big book was. I didn't understand it. I read it because they told me to read it, but I didn't comprehend it. And my sponsor said, well, read the stories. Read the stories. Maybe you can relate better to those. And so I did, and I loved them. And a couple of years later, I moved to an area town that had a meeting that met 6 days a week. And on Mondays, they have the Grapevine meeting. And that was when I first heard about the Grapevine. Sometimes I think it's the best kept secret in AA, because I have utilized the Grapevine so many ways personally. And also utilized it as a meeting in print with groups of people. A little bit about the Grapevine. It is, first of all, the Grapevine representative is the longest serving position, because it was started before the General Service Organization was around. The first publication came out in June of 1944, and I didn't bring one down. I didn't bring the lunch. But it was about this big and had a couple pages. And they sent it to, they said six, like three men and three women, but actually it was all women. People like Marty Mann, if any of you know who she is, she wrote Women Suffer Too. She was a big part in starting it. It was published in Greenwich Village. Is that correct, New Yorker?
Sure.
Okay. And it was 8 pages long. Today, the issue has over 60 pages, more like 65, 70 pages. It's in color. There's pictures. There's illustrations. This was all black and white, costs 15 cents. They sent it to all the known AA groups around the country. And then they decided, since there were a lot of people in the service in AA, that they would send it to any known member of AA who is actively serving in the military. And the people loved it. They thought, this is a great deal. We need to do more of it. And we called it kind of the meeting imprint. It got its label way back then. One of the funny things I think about when I think about the grapevine is we used to have a close relationship with the FBI, kind of. It was, the FBI had a magazine called The Grapevine, and we had the magazine called The Grapevine. Guess who won? They asked us to change the name, and with J. Edgar Hoover and all of us who tend to be of shady, you know, some of us have a little past of shadiness, we were more than happy to change to the AA Grapevine. And that was in 1946. So many things have been published in the Grapevine. So many things. The 12 Traditions first were debuted in there. Bill Wilson tended to use the Grapevine as his personal correspondence to every person in Alcoholics Anonymous. In 1950, at the first international convention, they had he introduced the 12 suggested points for AA tradition. Even though the Serenity Prayer has been around for probably hundreds of years, it wasn't when Bill and Bob first got sober, they saw it in a magazine. They cut it out and printed cards and would hand it out to individuals at the meetings for the Serenity Prayer. In 1967 was the first time it ever appeared in the Grapevine magazine. A lot of the slogans first showed up in the magazine. First things first, you know, but for the grace of God. And that's one of the things that AA Grapevine sells, are those little slogans. I'm sorry, I'm trying to collect myself too. Bill Wilson wrote over 150 articles in the Grapevine. One of the things that I think is very invaluable, at least for me, and I've used it so many times as a meeting, is the book called Language of the Heart. It talks about the traditions. It talks about his own personal experiences and depression and things like that. And it really is kind of interesting to read that and then discuss it in a meeting. Important part that I was... how do I say? The last time I did a presentation was in Tucson. And there are some people asking me some questions that made me... Tombstone. They made me do a little more research, because this is a relatively whole new perspective for me as an area Grapevine coordinator. Although AA is, you know, the Grapevine magazine is not conference approved, AA conference approved, it is acknowledged as the AA meeting in print. And there's a lot of controversy with that. And it's taken me 9 months to finally, I think, get that one down. Was that right, Dana? All the stories, I don't know if any of you have been long enough to know the fourth edition when it first came out. In the Grapevine, they asked for people to submit articles that would be printed in the fourth edition. And they printed those stories before it came out in the fourth edition. Lavinia is a part. Grapevine and Lavinia go hand in hand, although Lavinia is the newest part, and it's a Spanish-speaking meeting in print. It was first published in 1996. Before that, if any of you are aware of area service, it took 5 years prior to that to even take a look at whether or not we wanted to have a meeting in print that was Spanish-speaking meeting. It went, someone came to a general service meeting, said, I would like to see this happen. And it just went up and up and up till finally the general service approved it and they started publishing the Lavinia. When they decided to do that, it was in 1991, where they thought they'd do a trial run with having one article in the Grapevine printed in Spanish. So each month one article would come out. So now we're doing it bi-monthly. Now we are doing it in January. We're having it in color. We're going to have it staple free so you can bring it into the jails, prisons, and institutions. And it's going to be over 60 pages. If any of you are in the Spanish districts, we need lots of articles. I don't care if you're in the Spanish or English speak, whatever. We need articles. We want your articles. We want your personal stories. Angela said that I was published, and I was. I've been rejected too. And it has hit my ego so bad, but I was able not to drink about it and talk to my sponsor. And but I have to tell you, both people who, and they talked about their writing experience and being published in the Grapevine, you go through so many feelings, so many emotions. When I first wrote the first article I wrote, and I can't tell you what month or year it was in, I wrote it because I was in a really good place. Life was wonderful, and I was probably about 8 or 9 years sober. And they accepted it, and it was wonderful, and I went around and just thought, kept it a secret, and then when it came out, people would say, are you that? And I'd just demeanly say, yes. And then I was on such a great run, I tried it again. They rejected me. And it was really a blow to me. How dare they? How dare they? But I will tell you that when I wrote the second article, it was totally ego-driven because I'd been published once. And that's what I like about being able to write, is that it levels me. When I, the third time, I wrote it as, it started out as a resentment, and it was a couple pages long. And I wrote it, and I kept getting it edited because I'd send it to my sponsor. And she would say, are you writing with love? Are you writing with love? Are you writing with love? And I was getting sick of that. But finally, I was able to write it, and the Grapevine editors did edit it a touch, and it appeared again. It again was published in the Grapevine, but it was only like a paragraph in the beginning. That's one thing that I love as far as writing for the Grapevine, because I write through my resentments. I write through my joys. I have a couple articles that I write, and it's like a journal for me. And it helps me to sort out my emotions and my feelings and to do a thorough fourth step on someone or something. I really appreciate that opportunity to do that. A couple things about, a little bit about the housekeeping of Grapevine. How many people subscribe to the Grapevine? Okay, those who don't, I have a bunch of Grapevine subscription forms. It is the best value. It is. It's $27 a year. I don't have it with me for Lavinia, but it comes out bi-monthly, and it's a little less. I think it's $17 or $18. And, never mind, it's $12. I'm sorry, it's $12 a year. You can also, if you don't have time to read, you can download it on your iPod, do the audio Grapevine for $27 a year. I do both because I like to drive and listen to it, but sometimes I'm not concentrating, so I do get the article, and I like to share it with other people. I like to say, hey, read this article. I thought it was pretty good. Another great resource is the audio Grapevine, the archives, the digital archives. Have anyone gone on that yet? It's wonderful. And if you ever have to do a presentation, let's say they want you to talk about the first step, and you can go to the digital archives, write down first step, and they'll give you a plethora of articles that you can read and put into your presentation. It is great. And it's, you can do that. You can do a trial basis of $4 a month or $27 a year again. We publish all sorts of things, too. We have, like I said earlier, the slogans. The man, we have the photograph of the man in the bed. That first appeared in the Grapevine. We have many books that we have that are for sale. The Beginnings, Beginner's Book, Getting and Staying Sober. For young people, this is relatively new, In Our Own Words. Stories of young AAs in recovery. And we have a new one out this year, Spiritual Awakenings 2, and that just came out in the last month. We have calendars, all sorts of things that you can purchase. What do you do as a Grapevine rep? That's the biggest question I have. Well, our purpose is, as a Grapevine representative, is to spread the word about the Grapevine, encourage people to write, encourage people to submit your home group photograph. This, Emmett and I were talking about the Grapevine on the way down, and we talked about the ownership. If you're published, you kind of have an ownership for that magazine. I know my home group had their picture taken. They took a picture of their meeting hall. And we have it framed and on the wall. And taking active part in publishing, writing articles, the more you write, the higher your chances of being published. Would that be a correct statement? Yeah, it is. I know that because I'm batting about 750. We make sure that copies are available, the magazines are available. Talk about the new art magazines that come out each month. Maybe share a joke. Try to create an interest in our groups, our home groups, not only to have Grapevines available to everybody, but to subscribe, because we are self-supporting through our own contributions. We do not get outside help. We don't, you know, I can't donate $20. I have to purchase literature in order for the Grapevine to survive. Try to come up with different ways that we can promote the Grapevine. Encourage people what we have to offer. Just show people through what we do for the, you know, at the Grapevine. I have some flyers over here about how to publish, what they want, you know, some guidelines as far as publishing, whether it be an article, a joke, a photo, or some artwork. I have something over there. I also have a flyer on 100 ways to use the Grapevine in your daily life. And I have information about the Grapevine representative. I couldn't have asked for a better service position. Someone told me yesterday that if you don't like, you're making a difference if you're doing something that you don't like as a service position. Otherwise, it doesn't count. That is baloney. I hope that I'm making a difference. My enthusiasm for the Grapevine is, I don't know too many people who love it as much as I do. I am passionate about it, and I want it for my children and my children's children to be around, because my own opinion is the more senses that we use in our life, the more, whether we write, read, hear, taste, smell, visualize, whatever, the more we're going to internalize it, the more it's going to be us, and we're going to understand. I will tell you that this disease has killed 3 members in my family. I want it to stop here. I want it to stop in my family right here. So I want the Grapevine available for my family as well as yours. Thank you again for letting me be here and be of service.
Thank you, Leslie. And our final speaker is from Tucson, and help me welcome Bob.
It's a real pleasure to be here today. This is the second time I've been asked to speak at a ASCII conference here in Tucson. Last time was about 10 years ago. And in fact, I've been going to the ASCII event since the beginning. Years ago, I was attending a meeting of our local intergroup, and at the end of the meeting, the newly elected registration chair for ASCII made an announcement. I said after the meeting that, you know, I better register right now because I'll procrastinate. I'm bad at that. And Chris later told me that I was his first customer, so by good luck, I was the first person ever to register for an ASCII conference 17 years ago. But then I've always been lucky when it comes to AA. The first article I ever submitted to the AA Grapevine was published. And I'm batting about 071. That was the only one that was published. But it was about telephone meetings. Those were for people who were confined to their own home and couldn't get out. A friend of mine had surgery and really needed a meeting, so we used local three-way calling to take a meeting. The three of us in three different locations had a meeting over the phone. We were surprised at how different it was than just two people talking over the phone. It really seemed like a meeting. And we used a big book format to kind of keep the focus on recovery, and because it would be easy for somebody who's sick to focus on being sick. And it was published in the August 1995 issue. Under the title, you'd have to be pretty old to remember this, from a commercial, Reach Out and Touch Someone. That was their title. I had a different title. So they do edit a little bit from time to time. Now, of course, a face-to-face meeting is probably going to be the best thing, and I certainly probably would be best for the newcomer, but we discovered that after we'd done a few of these, that in some cases a phone meeting can be better for a person who's sick. Getting themselves ready for getting their home and themselves ready for a meeting at their home sometimes is too much for them. So near the end of the article, I included this paragraph. When I told them I would be writing to the Grapevine, Vicki and Chuck asked me to include some of their thoughts. Chuck said, "Well, maybe the original motive was to help Vicki, but that day I really needed a meeting. I had a terrific resentment about my house being robbed. And for that half hour, I was someplace else." Vicki said, "Just talking about it brings a tear to my eye. It was a godsend. I couldn't drive, and I hadn't been to a meeting for too long. Isolation is dangerous for an alcoholic." Resentments, isolation. Alcoholics and their problems don't seem to change much over time. But technology does. We were using wired telephones. And that was invented about 130 years ago. But you know, today, most cell phones can use three-way calling. So you could have a meeting practically anywhere. Kind of eliminates the excuse for not getting to a meeting, doesn't it? And I can imagine in the future, when mobile devices become, and home televisions for that matter, become more and more part of an internet, that people will use video conferencing to have meetings. These things will never replace face-to-face meetings, but it's just another way to help us stay connected. And for example, this weekend, you're going to meet people that, new people, new friends from all over the place, and it'd be kind of nice to keep in contact with them. And the technology exists right now. You could have an AA meeting with friends on the other side of the country or the other side of the world, for that matter. I was looking on the internet, I found a whole bunch of email and online chat meetings, but there were 3 audio meetings and 2 video meetings, believe it or not. One of them was a meeting in American Sign Language for people who were deaf. No audio, just video, which I thought was just amazing. And I expect that there's probably a whole bunch of other ones that are not known. They're just people, friends who get together and decide to stay in contact. And, you know, it kind of reminds me, it's almost like it was in the really old AA days, you know, when people met in their homes. So people are meeting over the, I guess you could call it the language of the heart. Now, you know, I think, you know, one thing that you can say for sure about people, technology is going to change, and there's really no way to predict what the future is going to be like, even 5 or 10 years from now. It's just a mystery. But, you know, the old technology never really disappears. Television didn't eliminate the movies, and so far, at least, the internet hasn't put the magazines out of business. Just look at the supermarket. Or even worse, look at the bookstores. They're just loaded with magazines. Now, it's true, of course, that people don't write, most people don't write many paper and ink letters anymore. But if you include email and text messaging and social networking sites, we're reading and writing more than we ever did before. Human beings were just compulsive communicators. It's almost a defining characteristic of what it is to be a person. And one of the most serious symptoms, if you think about it, of any mental or physical illness is the inability or the unwillingness to communicate. We start it when we're little babies, and before too long we're talking, and then we never shut up. And that's certainly true of alcoholics. We talk a lot. The way we communicate really doesn't seem to matter as nearly as much as what we communicate. The big book says we're people who normally do not mix, but I really like the next sentence. It says, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. And we wouldn't be here today, and probably there wouldn't even be an Alcoholics Anonymous if Ebby T., an old drinking buddy of co-founder Bill W., hadn't shown up in November almost 76 years ago. And in that Grapevine article, Bill had this to say about that meeting. One alcoholic had effectively carried the message to another. Ebby had been enabled to bring me the gift of grace because he could reach me at depth through the language of the heart. And with all these changes, will the grapevine become obsolete? Well, I for one don't think so. It's true that the circulation of the paper and ink magazine's gone down a bit, particularly as a proportion of our total A population. But at the same time, the visits to the website have gone up. And I expect that trend to continue. I really do. I don't think it'll replace the paper and ink grapevine. At least it won't anytime soon. But there's some definite advantages to paper, by the way. You know, I've never yet had all the pages of a magazine suddenly go blank because the battery died. But there's a lot of things you can do on a website that you can't do with a printing press. And the example we've heard already is about the digital archives. And you can do a word search for the subject, keyword, date, title, author, even the city where the person was. It turns out there's a local connection to the digital archives. A lot of things in AA started out small. It was October 1994. Our local Grapevine committee had a sponsored a workshop, and one of the ideas that came out of that workshop was, wouldn't it be nice to put those old Grapevine articles in some kind of a digital form? So they voted to say, let's ask the Grapevine staff. And we sent a letter to the Grapevine, and just hit just exactly before they had their meeting, and we got a really nice letter back from A&W, who was then the executive editor. Kept a copy of it. And she said the Grapevine board had thought the idea was interesting, and they immediately formed a subcommittee to study it. Now, I don't know about you, but that's blinding speed for Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, I'm sure it would have happened sooner or later anyway. I mean, the time would have come. But I like to think that maybe our local Grapevine committee kind of got the ball rolling a little sooner. And that's the way it works in AA. Every one of us makes a little contribution, but the total effect can sometimes be amazing. Even so, we had to wait quite a long time. As we already heard, they were in the process of starting the Spanish language Grapevine Lavinia, so they really had their hands full. I think sometimes we forget just how small the Grapevine staff is and what an enormous task it is to put out a magazine every month without fail for 66 years, is it? Yeah. Amazing. There's also a local connection to the Lavinia. This is it. You've never seen this before, probably. As was mentioned, they asked to put. There was one Spanish language article from September of 91 to July of 94. And Spanish language is big here in Tucson, so we. We asked permission from the Grapevine, can we reprint all of those Spanish language articles from the Grapevine in one little pamphlet? And here it is. So, in a sense, the very first Spanish language Grapevine ever printed in the world was here in Tucson. It took 10 years for the digital archives to get going, but they did finally in 2004. And I just love it. I just love it. You know, some people are already convinced they're alcoholics when they come to AA, but that wasn't my experience. When I first came to AA, it seemed like everybody had drunk more than me, and everybody had gotten into more trouble. But I kept coming back to meetings, and after a while I began to listen to the beginnings of their stories. And I came to realize that I was on the same road that they were, just hadn't gone quite as far yet. And for me, those other people's stories were a lifesaver for me. A Grapevine, of course, has been called our meeting in print. And it's just like a face-to-face meeting. There may be someone who needs to hear exactly what you have to say and exactly the words you use to say it. And some of the things that have happened to you have happened to them too. And because of your experience, you may be able to carry a helpful message to a person in a way that nobody else can. Now, maybe you don't think you've been sober long enough. If you're sober today, you have some sober experience to share. I've read things in the grapevine that were by people who were sober a few days and by people who were sober 60 plus years. Which one is the newcomer going to respond to? The answer is we never know. It all depends on that particular newcomer. At the time, Ebby was sober less than 4 months when he met Bill. And the same was true when Bill met Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob says in his story, he talked my language. At the time, Bill was sober about 5 months. And in addition to the personal stories, of course, we got Grapevine publishes a whole bunch of other kind of things, like the telephone meetings one, articles on the traditions and concepts. You know, also, if you'd like to try your hand at writing something shorter, there's a part of the Grapevine website called I Say, lowercase I-S-A-Y, where you can write short pieces on a variety of topics. It's a kind of a discussion meeting in print, I like to think. And some of those get reprinted in the paper and ink Grapevine. Somebody who came in today made me think of something. When I was the area Grapevine chair, we did a workshop on writing articles for the Grapevine. We didn't talk about doing it. We actually sat down and started writing it. And there was somebody there who's here today who said some really nice words about that. He said, it's the first time I've ever been to a workshop like that. Did you ever finish your article? You still got time. What if the Grapevine doesn't print what I write? Well, that's happened to me many, many times. And but you know, I at least have the satisfaction that somebody there gets to read it. And you get the nicest rejection slips from the Grapevine. You really do. I've got them from other places, and believe, they're not that nice, usually. I'm a bit disappointed, but then I remember that this is just like any other time I take the 12th step. Taking action helps me stay sober. I like to remind myself that step 12 is the only one that uses the word tried. When I put my article in a letter, envelope, and drop it in the mail, or these days hit the send button on my computer, I've done my part. I've tried to carry the message of recovery. What happens to it after that can be safely left up to a higher power. And what if the Grapevine does print what you write? Well, I can tell you it's a good feeling. Feeling to know that thousands of people might read it and might get something out of it. And thanks to the digital archives, it's a 12-step job that will continue on into the future for decades to come. Now, there's another article I feel a really special connection to. I didn't write it. I used to exchange letters with a fellow who lived in Guyana, South America, the only English language country in South America. And his name was Francis M. He lived so far away from any town, he had to get his mail in care of a village that was farther downstream. There are only a few meetings in the whole country, and there were none where he was. He asked me to be sponsored by mail. So we exchanged letters for quite a bit. And after I received a number of those letters, I realized that he'd basically told me his AA story, so he didn't have a typewriter, of course, and no computers in those days. And I typed his handwritten letters, arranged them in the events in the chronological order, and I sent the story to him and suggested that if he approved, he could forward it to the Grapevine. He did that, and it was published in the March 1997 issue under the title, Have Big Book, Will Travel. In his story, he writes, Recently, I made a 12-step call in one of the river areas. I had to travel for miles with mosquitoes and other pests eating me while we paddled our canoe for over 3 hours to reach this guy. He received me well, admitted that he was an alcoholic, but believed he could beat it on his own. What could I say? I left him some literature to read and promised to see him again soon. You know, whenever I think that it's too much trouble for me to get to a meeting, I just remember what Francis had to do and what it takes to get AA going in a place that doesn't have it. You know, I was lucky to get sober in Tucson where there's so many meetings every day of the week. I haven't had a drink since I first came to my first meeting, and I think part of that reason is that I've always tried to stay active in AA, and the Grapevine has been an important part of my sobriety. The Grapevine website has a lot of things on it, and one of the things it has is count your days. You enter your sobriety date, and it tells you the number of days, hours, minutes, and seconds you've been sober. Have found necessary to drink. Take a drink since for 752 million seconds. And for that, I'm truly grateful. I keep coming back to the woods.
Thank you, Bob. And here to read our A Vision for You, Help Me Welcome Matt.